I just want to speak tonight about something that is on my heart and that I've been speaking about at a few shofar churches, but really I believe that God wants us to get onto the same page. And this is what I'm going to speak tonight about, is the power to be. And especially, you know, I've been speaking to a friend of mine a few months ago, and he's a fitness instructor there at Western Province Rugby in South Africa, one of the local clubs. And I just spoke to him about the fact that, you know, on a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, they come together and then they speak about, you know, the strategy for the rest of the week and how they're going to train for the rest of the week so that when they play the next Saturday, that they will be prepared. So after playing the Saturday, the Sunday, they come together, then immediately after the Saturday when they played, they receive all the video material of the different aspects of the game. So the scrum doctor will get his footage, and the guy that's doing the lineouts, he will receive his footage. And all of them will get specialized footage on the different aspects of the game, and they will be coming together on a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and then they will speak about the strategy for the next Saturday. They will also receive the opposition's footage, which they will then speak about how they will then play against that other team. It was so interesting to me just where the world is at, and if we want to compete against the world, where we must be at, in understanding the ways and the strategies that we will be having to use in the times to come. I'm so excited to serve the Lord. And really, I'm so blessed by being in His service. And I know each one of you, not even being in the full-time ministry, are in His service. And it's exciting times this morning, France. I really enjoyed listening to the sermon as well. It's an exciting time for us as Christians to understand that we will only come to unity and the blessing of unity if we can get all on the same page. And that is what I want to speak tonight about, is the fact that we need to get on the same page. You know, like these guys that's coming on a 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon together to start and strategize together, we as Christians must understand that it's time to get on the same page and strategize toward what God wants to do in His kingdom. Now, there's something special happening when we get to that place of being in unity, because it needs accountability. For us to get to a place of unity, we'll have to be accountable to one another. Now, you know, it's so special to me. Jankor did the training with you guys, I think Saturday and the one previous Saturday. And, you know, Jankor told me that when they, during the holidays, went home when he was a student, it was always when it was harvest time, especially in the summer then, their whole family had to get involved if his father made a decree, listen, it's harvest time. When he said it's harvest time, then all of them, even if you're a little child in the home, even if you came for the holidays and you just wanted to sleep late as a student, there was no chance in doing so. All of you took the baskets and you ran to the vineyards and you started to bring in the harvest together because it's a family business. And it was such a beautiful picture for me in seeing what God wants for us if we want to get into unity to bring in the harvest together. And tonight I especially want to speak about bringing in the harvest together to find that place of unity. You know, Proverbs 27 verse 10 speaks of, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. We need to seek accountability to one another to get that kind of unity. Now, what does it mean to be accountable? And that is especially three things tonight to us. The first one is being accountable toward God. Romans 14 verse 12 says, so then each of us shall give account for himself to God. The place where we should be accountable, first of all, unto God. And we must understand being accountable unto God means that we must give our all and all the decisions that we make in life unto God. James 4 verse 7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submitting unto God means a few things to us as Christians. The first place, we must bring our commitments and we must take it seriously toward God. Your yes must be your yes and your no must be your no. You know, I've seen in Christian circles and especially in my own life as well, that God takes commitment so serious. That you and I must understand getting accountable to God means that we must be true to our commitments to Him. The second place of submitting unto God is the place where we understand God's commandments. That we understand that God wants us to be accountable to His Word, and He wants us through His Holy Spirit to be prompted to do what He wants us to do. I've had so many experiences in my life, and you might testify tonight about so many things in your own life that you can remember times when God spoke to you. Those times when you sat under the fig tree and God spoke into your life and you knew that's God. The times when we must be accountable to God's commandments in our lives. The third one is the one of being stewards of that which we receive from God. If we want to be accountable to God, we must be accountable toward Him in our stewardship, the things that God has given unto us. You know, I spoke this morning to a guy at the other congregation. It was so special to me. And I said to him, you know what? It's so blessed. Your commitment toward God is not because of what you can get out of Britain and the UK while you're here. But you know that you are called to such a place. And, you know, that is so special to me. Andre said it to me as well. You know, we cannot come and plunder this country and think that we can get out of it what we can get and then we leave. We are here for a purpose. And we must understand that God has given us a command in times such as this. To understand that we are stewards toward what He is busy giving unto us. Not tomorrow, not one day. Be satisfied with what He's given you right now. You know, so many times we dream about one day when I get back to South Africa, or one day when I'm, you know, in such a position to bless. You will never be in such a position if you don't get to a place of contentment of the season of what you are in now. And I've seen it in my own life. The times when I've surrendered unto God is the times I have just received these blessings. And I've received the calling that God has placed on my life. And tonight I want to be very serious about this. You know what? Understand that God has given you certain things in your hand that you must be accountable toward Him. Not because of your own plans. I remember working at a bank about, 12 years ago. I remember I was complaining toward God. I said, God, I don't want to be in the bank system. I don't want to be part of the corporate world. I want to be in the ministry. And I just had a bad attitude. I remember how I every day just had to tell myself, you know, just go to work so that you can get the money. On Friday you can go and relax in the ministry again. You know what? One thing that I've experienced with God at that stage was God said to me, you will never get into the ministry. You will never be able to fulfill the calling that is upon your life if you are not content in the season that I've given you now. Start to live for the moment that I've given you now, and start to, in the workplace, change your attitude to make the best. Be the best banker then that you can be. And as soon as I changed my attitude and as soon as I understood that God placed me in that season, I started to experience God's blessing upon my life. You know, we've got a lot of plans and we set for ourselves, you know, years ahead. And it's great. I want to encourage you to do so. But do it together with God. Don't tell yourself, you know what, I've got this 5-year plan that I'm going to stay in the UK. And then I'm just moving on. And you already have your whole life being set out for you. but God is not in it. I want to say to you today, God wants to be part of your life. Getting into a place of accountability and then unity with God is the place where you understand being a steward of that which He has given unto you. That is a special place. You know, the second place that I want to, or the second thing that we must be accountable to is our leaders. Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. That would be unprofitable for you. Leaders are accountable to God, and therefore we stand under their covering. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 18. Listen to what Paul said. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that is in the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaeus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. You know, the second place of accountability toward our leaders is the one where you and I make it easy for them to rule over us. And we even spoke this morning about the fact that you must do it in attitude and in action. That you and I must make sure that we acknowledge the leadership that God has set over us, being appointed by Him. Matthew 10, verse 41. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. We will be rewarded when we serve our leaders in accountability. In a few ways again. Three ways. The first one is our personal lives. Now, you know what? I've seen this a lot. People saying to me, no, you know, why should I tell my leaders what's going on in my personal life? You know, I'm the head of my own house. I can make decisions any way I want to. But you know what? The place of honoring your leaders is also the place in your personal life. Because those same people are the people that always come to me back when they are in trouble. And then they say, now I must pray with them. Now they are concerned that they must share their lives with their leaders. Now I want to encourage you, even in your personal life, start to just... you know, be accountable toward your leaders in what you are doing toward God and what God is busy doing in your life. Then the second one is the one of church matters. Stand under the covering of a church and make sure that you experience such covering in the blessings that God want to bring into your own life. You know, if there's a problem in the church, make sure that you go back to your leaders and that you speak to them. That is the place of unity. And then the third one is the one of doctrinal unity, where we experience being accountable toward our leaders as the ones who protect the truth. You know, the church are the vessel that God will be using and that Jesus is using as the vessel to keep all truth until He comes back. And He sets leaders to do so. Acts 15, verse 1 to 5, we see this picture. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversations of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. The whole quarrel was about the fact that some wanted people still to be circumcised. And we know that giving our hearts to Jesus Christ replaces the circumcision. And so Paul and Barnabas had to go to the apostles back in Jerusalem so that there will be doctrinal unity. But the leaders were responsible to keep the truth, to make decisions and to protect the doctrinal unity among them. You know, the place in verse 22 where we see, then it pleased the apostle and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They were sent back to bring the truth and to protect the truth. You know, when it gets to unity, we must also understand that doctrinal unity is protected through our leaders. We must honor our leaders and we must give them the respect due so that God can bless us as well. The third place of accountability is toward one another. And this is to share our negative and our positive report with our partners in Christ, to accept advice and our orders from our partners. I remember years ago I had just got saved and I spoke to God and I said, God, you know, I really need to grow as fast in you as possible. And one of the things that the church was expecting of us was the one of being accountable to an accountability partner. And at that stage, I said to God, it's so difficult for me to choose somebody that I can be accountable to. And God said to me, I must go to a guy in our hostel at that stage. I was still a student, Anton. And Anton was just one of those guys that you don't want to be accountable to. Because if you look at Anton, you know, it just feels like he's looking through you. He's just not, you know, one of those friendly guys that you feel comfortable with. And I said to God, God, anyone but Anton. God, I would really be accountable and I believe in the principle, but please, not this guy. And God said, go to him. And you know what? Something special happened in our relationship because I honored God's input in my life and the accountability that he wanted to set in my life. And today he's one of the guys that I will always phone, you know, when I make big decisions, because I can just speak to him and relax and say, listen, this is what's happening in my life. And he will speak into my life and I will listen. I will actually listen. And you know what? It's important for each one of us to understand that we need people around us to speak into our lives. You want to grow. Make sure that you allow people to speak into your life. And tonight, I'm not talking about socializing together. You know what? I always speak about the difference between an operational partner and a social partner. We can drink tea together and that's not going to help us at all. But you know what? If we get operationally involved with one another, if we start to bring in the harvest together, that's a whole different story. You know what? I say it to churches from time to time when I speak to other church groups as well, and they say, we want unity. We've got a fraternal there, a pastor's fraternal there in Stellenbosch, and then always they speak about unity and, you know, how we should as churches work together. And I'm all for that. But you know what? It's not going to be drinking tea together that's going to help us to get to unity. We will not as churches ever come closer to one another through just drinking tea together. It's when we operationally bring in the harvest together, we understand and hear the will of God, all of us, that we will experience unity. Now, I always say that if all of us hear the same thing from God, there will be no problem with unity. We will just naturally focus. And tonight I'm speaking of such a place where we can hear from God and we can start to bring in the harvest together. We can, the same things that's on the heart of Jesus will be the things on your heart and my heart. And we will start to get working together because we are accountable to one another toward the truths of God. And therefore, such an operational partner is somebody that can go with you and bring in the harvest. Church of God, know that we are not forcing anyone to be involved in the ministry. We're not forcing anyone to do anything in this church for the sake of just being involved. But you know what? For us to understand the heart of Christ, we must start to work together in bringing in the harvest. It's not the pastor's job. It's each one of our jobs. And each one of us should hear the same thing from God. You know, I just love what we teach in our small group facilitation as well, and you guys probably heard it. And we read it in Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all of you are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is the burden on Jesus' heart? What is the burden that Jesus carries? What is the things that really concerns Jesus? Is the reason why he came to earth. Is to bring the lost toward the heart of the Father. The only thing why Jesus came is not so that he could prove any point. It was not because Jesus thought that he would be the hero and do great things for God and commit himself toward a job here on earth. It was because he had the heart's desire to have the heart of the Father placed in every son that is here on earth. And I want you tonight to understand that you and I will never understand Jesus and the kingdom if it's a job for us. If it's a command that the pastor has given us. If it's something that the cell facilitator, the small group facilitator is expecting of us. It's when we receive the heart of Jesus Christ. It's if we understand that bringing in the harvest together is not an option. It's the burden that is upon the heart of Jesus Christ. And he says in this piece of scripture, come to me, all of you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The only way that we will find that rest is in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke, the things on my heart, that is important for me, and for the Father. Jesus said, I will only do what the Father is expecting me to do. Now I want to tell you tonight, you know what? Start to yoke with Jesus. But you will never be able to yoke with him if you don't understand his heart. You know what? Being here in London, it's so special to hear where you guys are at. And it's so special to know that, you know, we're going to go to the ends of the earth and experience great things for Jesus. But I want to tell you tonight, there's nothing as special as serving Jesus Christ and having a relationship with the Father. Because this is what we should live for. And that, if you have a relationship with Him, you will not want to quarrel about silly things in the church of God. You know, I found in churches there's so many politics going on about, is this right, and should we have projectors, and should we have signage, and should we... That's got nothing to do with nothing. Jesus wants us to have his heart, to experience what he wanted to show us in bringing the heart of the Father to us. And then there's a few pitfalls in having a close relationship of accountability toward one another that I want to mention tonight. Because the first one is the Matthew 7:6 principle. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. That you and I must understand, we cannot share our report, our accountability toward people that don't understand the kingdom principles. You and I will never be able, you know, to be encouraged and uplifted in our walk with Jesus if we share with people that don't understand the mind of Christ. because they will always murmur and they will always not understand why we make certain decisions. I remember when I first had to make a decision of going into the ministry, and I always knew that that God placed it on my life and my heart to go into the full-time ministry. And I remember the first day when I went to my father-in-law and telling him, listen, we are just married, but there's a problem. I've got this great job and this great promotion waiting for me now. And I just moved to the next level in my corporate walk, in the business world. But now I'm going to make a decision in walking into the ministry with a very small salary. And that was not the point at that stage. The fact that we gave off all our security and we said, God, it doesn't matter as long as we are in your perfect will. What is the place of contentment that we want to live by? The place of contentment is the place where you are in the perfect will of God and you know that. When you know, listen, it's not about the car that I drive or the house that I'm living in. I'm doing what God is expecting me to do. Not being in that place, you can have whatever you want to, but you will never be satisfied. The place of contentment within the Lord is that place where you and I decide to do what God wants for our lives. And I remember telling that to my father-in-law, and he was so skeptic about this, skeptical. He said to me, no ways, you cannot give up all the securities. But I knew he did not understand the ways of God at that stage. Luckily, later on, God really blessed me in leading him to the Lord. But you know what? I want to encourage you today. Don't go to people that don't understand the report of God. Go to people that understand kingdom principles when you share your accountability toward others. 1 Peter 5 verse 5. The second pitfall that's important tonight to understand about accountability is the one of respecting older people. Likewise, in verse 5, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Timothy 5 verse 1, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers. That you and I understand, we find it difficult from time to time there at Stellenbosch in South Africa when we send our students back home. Then when they go back home, they start to preach to their fathers and mothers and they start to just make trouble. Because they use the sword, the truth, against people. Rather than to understand that the truth shall set us free when we use it against the principalities and powers. You know what? We're not supposed to fight with older people. Treat them in respect. Speak the truth, but do it in respect. And I want to encourage you to do so. If we stay accountable to older people around us, we will have a lot more wisdom in our lives. James 5 verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another. And pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess to one another. Be at a place where you can confess to another person, in Christ, about the things that's wrong in your life. Maybe I should just say that I just felt while we were worshiping. I just saw this picture of a person and it's as if his shadow overcame him, went past him. And God just showed me, and I believe it's one of you here tonight. God is saying you must live by the truth and you must confess. Use the opportunity to come out into the light. I just want to say that tonight. I just feel somebody needs to come into the light tonight. God is giving you a special opportunity. But there's two kinds of partners that we walk by in accountability. The first one is a prayer partner. A prayer partner that can speak and pray with you. One evening on a Thursday, we've got our off day there in South Africa. because we are working over weekends. And that Thursday, I remember I just felt, you know, so bad. In my spirit, I just not, I felt so, you know, not up to serving the Lord and be very spiritual. And that whole day, I was just struggling with the Lord, and I was just praying. Am I the only one that feels that from time to time? Do you feel it from time to time as well? Please say you are, because I might feel too bad tonight. But I remember on that Thursday, there's at least one person. I remember on that Thursday, you know, just struggling through things with God, and the whole day it was so difficult for me. And I said to my wife, let's just pray together. And the evening, I said to her, let's just go and take out a movie. And we went back home and we watched the movie after the kids were in bed. And it was the movie, and this is now significant for where I was at that stage. The movie's name was called Half Light. And so, you know, we watched the movie, and I thought, no, it's going to be a great movie, great actress. And halfway through, I just stopped the movie, and I said to my wife, now I even feel worse. You know, trying to indulge the flesh, it was just not working. It was not as if I felt better. But halfway through, we just stopped the movie, and you know, I remember one of these prayer partners of mine, you know, sent me a SMS and a text message, and I received it, and I watched on my mobile, and it said, I think it was, I can't remember the exact scripture, it was, I think James 3 verse 8, I think, I can't remember the exact, but I remember reading it at that stage, and it said, the darkness passed and the light came. And you know what? For me at that moment, it was an exact word from God. You know, watching this movie and just going through all of these things with God, I just experienced something very special, you know, when that friend of mine started to pray on the other side, and he said, I just believe this is a word from God for you. He didn't understand it at all at that time. But you know what? He knew that God was sending it to me. And it uplifted my spirit. And it's so important that if we speak about prayer partners tonight, that you understand you need friends like those. People that can pray for you, that can pray with you, and experience the burden together with you. The second one is the one of a coaching partner. And that's why we, even in our small group structure now, calls our zone leaders, zone coaches. You know, getting to a place where you've got somebody more mature in the, you know, in spiritual terms than yourself. Somebody that can sit you down and speak into your life. Somebody that you can call up and say, listen, what should I do? We need people like that. Genesis 4, verse 8 to 11. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, you know, tonight, I want to encourage you to get to a place of being your brother's keeper. Start to embrace discipling people. You know, but make sure that you've been discipled first. If you are not receiving a mentor or a coach in your life, you know, in a season where you should be discipled, you will never be able to disciple other people. And I've seen it over and over in the ministry that you and I need to embrace such a time. A place where you can choose, you know, people that God placed on your heart that's more mature than you in the spirit to speak into your life. And I always, and I know, Andries, you do it as well. I always just check with Pastor Fred, you know, when I have to make major decisions in my life. because he's a spiritual father to me. Somebody that can speak into my life. Now, I know Andries does that as well. You know, you need people that can speak into your life as coaches, as friends that can carry the burden with you. Can we establish such a unity in church? And I want to be very practical now. The place where we start to get into unity on the same page. You know, it was for me such a revelation again when I heard how the world conduct itself and getting together there on a 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, getting onto the same page. Because on Monday when they started to practice, all of the coaches, all of the people that had to lead immediately knew what they should do during the week and the strategy that they should implement. For you and I to get to such a place, it's important. And in church ways, and especially in our church, you know, we need to understand that the Bible is the map that God has given us. But the leadership and the vision that we are serving is the signage that we follow when we drive around on that map, so that you and I know. You know, when I sit in the buses here, I look on the boards or the signage at the sides, and I look where the next stop is, and every stop I follow with the different names. You know, for us it's important to understand the same thing, that yes, you can have the tube map, you can have the bus route, but when you're in practice, you need to see the signage and follow it to get to the destination. And when it gets to your life and the way that you're serving God, you must understand the Bible is the map for each one of us, and we must stay within that truth. But the church of God is the signage that we need to get to our destination, because God chose His body for each one of us to operate in. Each one of us having a function within the body of Christ, so that we can get to where God wants us to be, but also where the church has to be. You know, for each one of us, understand today, we don't have this personal God that only serves us. Because this is what the society that we live in tells us. That you can, you know, whenever you want to take God if you want to experience God, you can just take Him out of a box and you can experience Him yourself. God is a corporate God. And God wants you to understand that you are serving His kingdom. And you are a part and a function. And it's important for you, and it's blessed for you to experience such unity. And then to understand that on a Sunday, and then it's special for me to see that you've got the culture here in writing down what I'm speaking about. Because it's necessary for us to understand that this is strategy. This is the 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon that we are experiencing here. Each one of us must get onto the same page on where God wants us to be. You know what? Church is not just a nice social gathering. Church is not just to come together and experience nice fellowship. Yes, that's part of it. But it's a place where God gives us strategy. And then on a Wednesday evening, through our small groups, we need to strategize together and how we're going to implement it. And that's important for us. That's why it's so important that you are part of a local body and that you are part of, you know, being part of the solution in the strategy that God is placing in and through your life. When you get to the small group on a Wednesday evening, it's also not socializing together. It's working through the strategies that God has given you on this Sunday so that you can implement the vision of God. You know what? I'm telling you that tonight because we as Christians must start to get onto the page where Jesus is at. You know, we are not here tonight just to hear the sermon of a pastor from South Africa. We are listening to what God wants to say to us. You know, if it was ever so that we should go from here and go and sit in the coffee shop to discuss if the pastor had a nice service or not, or a sermon. You know what? Then we are not serving the kingdom. Because I'm not here to please you and giving you a great sermon. I'm here to really bring you to a place where you can experience together with the rest of the body the strategy from God. And we can miss God from time to time, but you know what? God is where His saints is. God is where His children is at. Because God says that where two or more are gathered in My name, there I will be also. You know, I want you to stand tonight. I love Jesus. And I love Him with my whole heart. He's the reason for my living and dying every day. And you know what? There were times in my life where I've been so arrogant around Jesus. Where I've just thought about my own calling and God, you know. I know that You've called me and I've done great things for God. And God, I believe that You are doing great things through me. And then I, in the past, so easily realized that I'm missing God. Because it was never about me. It was about experiencing the blessing of the easy yoke. Because I understand the yoke of Jesus Christ. And tonight I appeal to you to come and to understand the yoke of Jesus Christ. You know, then big problems start to become small problems. Then big issues in your life will become small issues. Because it's not the focus point in your life. The focus is to serve Jesus Christ. And to make His kingdom come through and in your life. Father, tonight as we stand before You, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that is among us. Father, thank You that we didn't come tonight to have, Father, a social service together. But we came, Father God, to hear the commander of the armies. Thank You that we know, Jesus Christ, that even when Israel went over the Jordan, on the other side, the commander of the armies waited to them. And the commander said, "Are you?" And they said to the commander, "Are you with us or are you against us?" And the commander said, "I am the commander of the armies." And tonight, Father God, we realize that, Father, the leadership of this church serves You. Father God, they serve Your vision. You are the commander of this church. Father, we want to ask You in Jesus' name tonight that it will never be different. Father, that it will never be about us. But Father God, that it will truly be about You being in our midst and You being the commander of the armies. Tonight as we stand before You, Father God, we recognize the kingdom and that the kingdom is coming. We want to be part of it. Father, tonight we realize that getting on the same page means that we must on all three levels, Father, start to be accountable. That we must be accountable toward You as the Lord our God. But Father God, how can we be accountable toward You, Father, if we are not accountable to the natural things that You've given in our lives, the leadership? Father, and tonight we want to recognize that we must start to be accountable toward the leaders that You've given us. And Father, then we recognize that we should, each one to one another, start to be accountable. Father, we ask that tonight You will bring each one of us on the same page. That each one of us will hear the same thing from You, Father. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that it will never become a social club, but that this will truly be the war field, Father God, that London will be changed for Jesus. Father, we pray Your Spirit upon this place. Father, we pray that wonderful things will happen through ministry time in this place. Father, I want to ask You, Father, that friendships will be forged in this place. Father, I pray that friendships will start to form and to shape, Father, toward being a mighty tool in Your hand. That when people move out of this building and out of the Tooting congregation and the Weybridge one, Father, that they will experience the mighty flow, Father God, of the commander of the armies. And I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you will start to bring friendships to such a place, Father, where they will experience the harvest time together, that they will start to really be happy about the things, Father God, that is on your heart, that they will start to have testimony upon testimony, Father God, of your goodness and your grace through and in their lives. Father, I want to pray in Jesus' name tonight that each one of us here will experience a personal relationship with you. In Jesus' name.